Okay, this week is Parashas Matos Masse. There's a lot going on this week. The Matos Masse, two parashios. It is Shabbos Chazak. Chazak, v'nis chazek. Okay, and it's also Shabbos Mevorachim Chodesh Menachem Av. So we have three things going for us this week. Three unusual events. Double parasha. Kefil. Shabbos Mevorachim and Shabbos Chazak. And not to forget that not only is it Chazak for Parashas Bamidbar, in essence, it's really Chazak for the entire Torah, because Mishneh Torah is in the category by itself. It really begins a new section. It's a Chazor, it's a review of the Torah. And the Ikar Torah is the first four Chumashim. So when today when we're Messiah, the Shabbos, when we're Messiah, Chumash Bamidbar, in essence, it's really a siyum on the Torah. We should really make tomorrow a big, big kiddush, a big, big suda, simchas Torah. It's the siyum of the Torah. Now, we'll discuss a few things one at a time. Let's just in the beginning of the parasha, let me quote you a Rashi. Opening, this Shabbos is, again, Shabbos Mevorachim. We're riding smack in the middle of the 3 weeks. Right in between Shavuos v'Tammuz and Mevorachim Chodesh Av. When was Shavuos v'Tammuz? This week? I can't remember.
No,
we can go.
A week and a half ago.
The 9 days starts.
My mind is just one big mishmar. Okay. It was last Tuesday, Shavuos v'Tammuz. Okay, now, Parshas, the first Rashi begins in Parshas Matos with a question. Why... with regard to the mitzvah of Nidorim, did Moshe Rabbeinu speak directly to the leaders? All Kol Torah Kulo, when Moshe Rabbeinu speaks, he speaks to the Hamoinam, to the people. He speaks to Klal Yisrael. Here in this parashas Matos, Vayidaber Moshe El Roshei Hamatos. Normally it's Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar to the Bidaber El Bnei Yisrael. Why suddenly here are we shifting and Moshe is addressing the Roshei HaMatos? And anyway, the Roshei HaMatos, this halacha is not unique to the leaders, because this halacha follows every single person in Klal Yisrael, is subject to the laws of Nidorim and Nidorim. Every single person in Klal Yisrael is subject to the laws of making a neder. You make a neder, you have to fulfill the words of your neder. And to be matan neder, you can go to a bezdin. You don't have to go to a bezdin of mumkum. You can go to a bezdin of any three people. You don't need to go to a Rosh Hamatos to be matan neder. So the halachas here apply to every single member of Klal Yisrael. So why does the pasuk of here, the Moshe Rabbeinu, did he address specifically the Rosh Hamatos? So Rashi answers the question. Rashi says, Chola kovod lanasiim lalamdam techila. It's nothing more than giving kovod. It's nothing more than honor. There's no practical reason why Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the leaders. He wants to give kovod. I want to be mechabed l'tzritzesia. Chola kovod lanasiim lalamdam techila. The achar kach l'chol b'nei Yisrael. Okay, and then he went and he spoke. Then Rashi goes on to say that he did this normally all the time. Other things he did as well, but that's not the point. Why is Rashi telling us here to give kavod? So I want to make the following suggestion and bring out a certain idea, is that there are two times a year when we mourn. We mourn during Svira, between Pesach and Shavuos. And we mourn during the 3 weeks. For whom do we mourn during the 3 weeks, during Svira? We mourn for the loss of the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. What's the primary chedah of Rabbi Akiva? They died during this period of time, 24,000 students. Shaloi nohagu kavod ze lo ze. In the middle, we have a period of mourning. During the 3 weeks, we also mourn. Why are we mourning? For the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Rashi later on goes on in this parasha, in fact, he says, is that when there's a tzara to the tzibur, the tzara is hung upon the leaders. The leaders are responsible to whip the people into shape so that they do not do averos, the Roye Tzon, we just learned in Navi, that they do not do averos and they do not do averos, and Menela, there won't be any public tragedy. Why is it that the people have people, why is it that we don't listen to our leaders? When the leaders tell us, the Nevi'im tell us, or the leaders tell us, You should stop speaking Lashon Hara. You should stop talking during davening. You should stop chewing on your taxes. You should stop looking at things that you should not be looking on. Why is it that we have had such a hard time listening to our leaders? You know what the real answer is? Because we have no respect for them. That's exactly what we learned really yesterday in Navi. We have no respect. We make believe we have respect. When they walk into them, we stand up, and we're very kind, we're very gracious, and we behave, but really all we're doing is just a show. It's all a show because we need to look, we need to present ourselves in a certain way in order for to receive benefit. But do we have respect for them deep down inside? Mm-hmm. The proof is in the pudding. If we really had respect for them, we would listen to what they have to say. We don't have respect. During the 3 weeks, the Avelos is not Shaloi Nohagu Kavoid Zelozeh, it's Shaloi Nohagu Kavoid amongst our Gedolim. There are two periods of time with Avelos. Avelos of the 3 weeks, Avelos of the Svira. The Svira, Shaloi Nohagu Kavoid Zelozeh. We don't appreciate our Chaverim. But during the 3 weeks, it's we don't have covered zelazah. At least we don't have sinaschina, focus on the hatred. That's another issue. But the fact that Parashas Matos always falls out in the smack right in the middle of the 3 weeks, always, because Pinchas not always. You know, by the way, Pinchas doesn't always have to fall out during the 3 weeks. In a leap year, Pinchas can fall out possibly before the 3 weeks. But Matos is always going to be part of the 3 weeks. And the opening teaching that Rashi tells us is to give kavod to your manhigim. And the ultimate kavod is, as we learned yesterday in Navi, is not to listen, is not to give respect, to come and sit before them, kimavoy ha'am, but it's to do, to be practitioners of what they say. That's the kavod. And therefore, it's a remez to the tekufa of the year, this parsha, to nagu kavod to the roshei hamatois. And also, it ties to what we just said. And what is the lesson of a neder? Kichol hayoytzei mipi yaseh. The ikar kavod to half of the leader is not to stand up, not to give kavod. It's to do. If you really have respect for someone, you listen and you practice yaseh. That's the ikar kavod. So that's why Moshe could have taught us this halacha, give kavod to the leaders in any mitzvah of the Tayag mitzvahs. And this could happen to be, matlis could have happened by accident, to have been positioned anywhere in the Torah that would fall out during any other time of the year. But the hashkocha pratis is that it falls out b'davka during the Yimei HaMetzarim, and the hashkocha pratis is that Moshe specifically focused on the mitzvah of neder, where the focus is kichol hashem b'yotzei mipiv yaseh, to teach you these two lessons. The ikar kavod is to practice what they tell you to do, and this is the lesson for the 3 weeks, because the 3 weeks, it's shaloi nohagu kavod to the gedolei yisrael. If only we would have listened to them, we would not be in the position that we are today. Had Klal Yisrael listened to the Nevi'im, time of the Torah, time of the Beis HaMidrash, we wouldn't have a Churban. If we only been listening to the gedolei yisrael for all the generations, we would have listened to what they've told us to do, not to talk during davening, then we would not have all these problems. It would be an entirely different world. Okay, let's go to the next rush. Next idea, Zeh HaDavar. Rashi goes on to explain that Zeh HaDavar, how do we know? Rashi incidentally says two things about Zeh HaDavar. Zeh HaDavar we use as a gezeira shava. It says with Zeh HaDavar shkut echutz, a person slaughters a carbon as sanctity outside the Beis HaMikdash, and it says Zeh HaDavar over here. And just like by Zeh HaDavar there, it was the entire Klal Yisrael, it wasn't only the leaders. So too, when it says Zeh HaDavar here, do not be misled that this halacha only applies to the leaders, it applies to the entire Klal Yisrael. That's one technical point Rashi makes with regard to the words, the unique word Zeh HaDavar. We need it, it's essential to make the Gezeirah Shavah, to teach you that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the entire Klal Yisrael, not just to the leaders was just to give kavod. The second limud is a more of a homiletic idea. Zeh HaDavar, Moshe nisnavi b'choy omar Hashem kechatzes halayla, v'anevim also nisnavi b'choy omar Hashem. Moshe, if alei Moshe, shenisnavi b'loshon Zeh HaDavar. Moshe Rabbeinu was one of a kind. We know in the Animamim, there are two Animamims for Nevi'im. Animamim Shekol Divrei Nevi'im Emes. And then there's a second Animamim, and Moshe Rabbeinu was the Av HaNevi'im. How did Moshe differentiate himself from Nevi'im more so than all of the other Nevi'im? So they're all, there are many different ideas, many different contexts. One of the contexts is that Moshe used the word Zeh HaDavar. No one amongst the Nevi'im was allowed to use the term Zeh HaDavar like Moshe Rabbeinu. Everyone else, the best they can use is the words Ko Yomar Hashem, Chazoyin Yeshayo Ben Amos. The word Zeh HaDavar is a term, is an expression that's unique to Moshe Rabbeinu. What does that mean? Why is Zeh HaDavar better than Ko Yomar Hashem? So I want to suggest that we take these two Rashis, which are juxtaposed, and it's telling us the nature of Moshe Rabbeinu. What does the first Zeh HaDavar teach us? The first point Rashi, Zeh HaDavar, that it's said by Nedarim, is used as a Gzeres Shavah to Shchutei Chutz. Just like Shchutei Chutz, the Pasuk explicitly says that Moshe taught the leaders, Aaron and his children, and this one and that one, and the entire Klal Yisrael. So too, when it says here, Zeh HaDavar, it means that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he gave over this mitzvah, he gave over the mitzvah to every single member of Klal Yisrael, B'li Yotzei Min HaKlal. When Moshe Rabbeinu used the term Koyomar Hashem, back in Parshas Bo, Rashi here on the spot very specifically says something very interesting, which you would not expect Rashi to say. It's not really necessary to say this. Maybe you would figure it out, maybe you wouldn't figure it out, but what does Rashi say about Koyomar Hashem Kachatzois Halayl in Parshas Bo, Rashi, Vayoyim Moshe Koyomar Hashem Be'ondo Lifnei Paro Nemro Lo Nevua Zo. This Nevua Kachatzois Halayl, there's only one person who heard it, Paro. Paro obviously told everyone. He told his people. Well, maybe they were listening. And then the whole Egypt found out about it. And that started a civil war. But the Nevuah was said to who? To Paro. It was not said to the masses. He wasn't tweeted to the population, to 300 million people. It was said to one person. He decided to let people know about what happened and in a private conversation. What do you see from this? You see that the Nusach of Ko Omar, and other Nevi'im also said Ko Omar, it is a Nevuah where you speak to individuals. Not everyone, you see, when you talk about Nevuah, not everyone is roy to give Nevuah, and not everyone is roy to receive the Nevuah. A Navi has to be very talented in knowing his audience. Not every Navi is able to give over a message to a certain segment of the population. You know about teachers. People, there are certain people that are very good with children, but when they give a lecture for adults, it doesn't go off well. And there are certain people that are very good with adults, but when you put them in the kindergarten and have them speak to children, it's a disaster. Everyone has unique talents. Every person has the ability to relate to certain people. Some people are very good speaking to world leaders. They know how to deal with wealthy people. Some people know how to speak to politicians. Some people know how to speak to women. Okay, there are certain public speakers that are very, very good with women. And they're not very good with men. The men just don't connect to their message. But women somehow find a liking to a person's style. And there are people that are phenomenally successful. Balei tshuva talk to irreligious people. But when they get up and give a drasha to people who are from birth, it's just a disaster. It just doesn't go. There was such a person. I know a very, very famous person, and he was invited to speak by a good convention, and he basically says, "This is not my forte. I'm very good with Balei Tshuva. That's why you invited me here. But to speak to people who are from birth, I have really nothing to tell you. I have nothing to tell you, and my message is not. I know from experience, it's not. I'm not going to connect with you. I'm not going to really have anything to tell you. It just doesn't work. Because that's just not the way Hashem made me. My niche is to deal with a certain segment." Nevi'im, all Nevi'im were in a category of Koyomar. And if you'll study Koyomar, I'm assuming this, we have to study this in much more detail. But I'm trying to bring an idea. You have to see if this idea is really correct. It's just a raw idea. Every Navi, besides the level, is like Maria Hami'ira. It's like Maria She'en Me'ir, whether it's clear, whether it's not clear, whether it's more of poetry, whether it's abstractions. Who are you talking to? All other Nevi'im at best can say Koyamar. They can talk to individuals. They can talk to Para. They can talk to the Gedolei Hadar. They can talk to sinners. The only one that had the talent, not just that the Nevu'ah was clear, Splakmaria Hamir, but had the ability to say a Nevu'ah and the whole Klal Yisrael could be the audience, can listen to his prophecy, and can absorb the message, everyone on their level was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Zeh HaDavar. Rashi goes on to say, Moshe was Misnabe. Now, that's another topic of discussion. What does the mitzvah of Hataras Nedarim have to do with prophecy? That's not our discussion now. But it is, obviously. Rashi says it is. Moshe was Misnabe with the term Zeh HaDavar. All other Nevi'im were not Misnabe with the term Zeh HaDavar. They were Misnabe with Koyomar. Look at the first time it says Koyomar in the Torah. Rashi makes a point, he spoke to one person. I'm assuming, I don't know for sure, but we have to study. Other Nevi'im also can say Koyomar. They can speak to individuals, to a select group, a select part of the population. Moshe Rabbeinu had the koyach to speak Zeh HaDavar, Shchut Echutz, to Gans Klal Yisrael, to Aaron, to his children, to the Nisim, to the Sanhedrin, and to the common man, and to the children as well, and to the women. And everyone was able to listen to his address and take away something from it. That's a very unique talent. That is something that the only Rebbeinu Shlom writes the Torah on many, many different levels. This is the koyach of Zeh HaDavar. We have to put these two Rashis that are juxtaposed, even though they have nothing to do with each other, put them together to explain the depth of what it means, Zeh HaDavar. Okay, let's go to another idea. Moshe Rabbeinu, let's discuss now the topic of Reuven and Bnei Gad. We'll jump ahead, we'll come back, we'll go back and forth, whatever I find in my piece, my notes, one at a time. Moshe Rabbeinu, Bnei Gad, there are different orders, how they're presented in the Torah for different reasons. They come to Moshe and they say to Moshe, we're not going nowhere. We like this land, Eiver Hayarden, the land of Sichon and Oig. We want Mikne Rav, Hayel, Bnei Reuven, Bnei Gad, Otsum Oig. Or according to the Medrash, Moshe, you're going to be buried here? We're going to be with you. We're not going over the Yarden. We want to stay on this side. And Moshe goes into a tirade. How dare you? How dare you betray your fellow brought man? How dare you not cross the Yarden and fight the Canaanim? How dare you weaken the hearts, the resolve of your brothers when you're going to be a coward? You're not going to fight. You're going to cause the hearts of your fellow men to melt. And Moshe goes on and on and on. And they sit there and they listen to the Musar. And then they say, okay, Moshe, okay, sorry. Chotasi, Avisi, we're going to go, we're going to fight. And the words are, Vayikshu Elov, Vayomu, Gidrei Yisrael, let's just make for ourselves now some temporary huts for our sheep, Lumeglina Po, Vim, Lumetenu, Vanachnu, that's right, Necholetz Chushim, we're going to go armed, we're going to fight. Necholetz means armed, Chushim means swiftly, right? Chushim means we're going to go, we're going to lead the pack, we're going maher. Chushim means quickly, we're going to go. We're going to be the lead troops. We're going to go in the front of the army with weapons to fight. Lifnei b'nei Yisrael, ad asher im havi oinum el mekamam, until they reach their destination. And in the meantime, our animals and our wives, our children will stay here. V'chulu v'chulu. And lo nashuv el bateinu, we're not going to go home until the battle is over. Okay, fine. Moshe then... there's really more. And not only the battle, but kivon not another way. What's the... So Moshe says, okay, fine. If you're going to fight, you're going to lead, okay, it's a good idea, you can do it. And Moshe goes on and tells them exactly what to do. But there's a very big difference in how Moshe tells them what to do versus their original plan. There are many differences, in fact, between the plan that Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven presented and the plan that was approved by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe took their plan, their strategy, their proposition, and he edited it. Okay, he put a lot of inserts, a lot of carrots were put between the lines, adding a lot more conditions, and they had to come back and sign the dotted line. Among those conditions, among the differences, one of the most prominent conditions that Moshe over and over mentions, the expression, Lifnei Hashem, If you will go armed, lifnei Hashem la'milchama. Again, va'avar lachem kol chalutz et sayardein lifnei Hashem ad ha'yishoy esavav mipanav v'nichbisho ha'aretz lifnei Hashem. Already three times. Let's go to the next pasuk. V'imloy sasun kein hinei chatosem la'Hashem. Okay, pasuk of Dalet, no pasuk chaf of Hei. Okay, those are a few times. He says over and over, Lefnei Hashem. And then when he repeats it to the people, Pasuk of Tes, he says, the Tanai, Im Yavu b'nei God of Neruven, Yitchem, Esayadin, Chol Cholus, HaMelchama, Lefnei Hashem. Nochama. Okay, so over and over, he says, Lefnei Hashem. Let's go back to the original plan. Plan A, back in Pasuk Tes Zayin, the original plan was, Vayik shoy lo b'yamud gidrois tsoy nivne l'miknenu fo v'yorim l'tapenu v'anachnu nechalei tzchushim l'fnei b'nei Yisrael. There's no reference to God. There's no reference to Ribbono shel Olam. L'fnei b'nei Yisrael ad Hashem evonim el mekoyim av yoshu l'ribbono shel Olam lo noshu v'otim ad hisnachal b'nei Yisrael ki lo yinchal evnei ha'adim l'vahola. In plan A, it did not say the name of Hashem. Not even Baruch Hashem. Not even B'siyata d'Shemayah. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Maybe they thought we put in Shemus. They didn't want to have Hashem's name on it. The original document, the original proposition did not mention listening to Hashem. When Moshe Rabbeinu said you can do it, Moshe added at least 3-4 times Lifnei Hashem. And indeed, when they agreed to it, Vayanu v'negov ne'ruvim lima is asher diber Hashem el avadecha kein naaseh, when Hashem has spoken, we will do. So they make reference to Hashem, v'chulu v'chulu, they do it. Okay. Now, that's one major difference. There's another difference, which is pointed out by, is it Rashi, or maybe it's the Balatudim? I think it's Rashi. The Rashi, it's a very important Rashi, this is a critical Rashi, and it ties into the beginning of the parasha. It's Rashi in Pasuk Chav Dalet. Let's read the Pasuk Chav Dalet. Pasuk Chav Dalet says, B'nu lochem odin letapachem, g'deus letzoy na'achem, V'hayotzei mipichem ta'asu. Now those words have a lot of meaning in Parashas Matos. Because in Parashas Matos, when we begin the sugya of a neder, it says, k'chol hayotzei mipi ya'aseh. With regard to making a neder, it's critical that you make a neder, so you have to keep your word. K'chol hayotzei mipi ya'aseh. So Rashi picks up on the similarity between Mikol Hayotzei Mipi Ya'aseh and Hayotzei Mipichem Ya'aseh Ta'asu. And Rashi says, Ligavoa, what you promised on high to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Rashi adds this, you have to read between the lines of the Pesukim to find where Rashi is deriving this point. So we're not going to just read what Rashi says. Shekibaltim Aleichem La'avor Le'Mulchama Ad Kibush V'Chiluk. Not only will we lead and fight for 7 years, we'll stick around and twiddle our thumbs, fidget spinners, for another 7 years while Hashem divides the land. It took 7 years. That itself is very bizarre. Why did it take 7 years to divide the land? Because dividing the land was done with Gorel. Do Gorel in 10 seconds. We can have the Gorel done over here in 5-10 seconds. We'll be out of here. 1, 2, 3. What took 7 years to divide the land? To make a goyrel? Obviously, a goyrel is not like we think. They can make a goyrel agra today. Let's say they want a goyrel agra. You missed the Tanakh 7 times. So I don't know if there's anyone today that can make a goyrel agra. Years ago, the Gedolei Yisrael who made a goyrel agra, they fasted. They fasted many, many days in advance. They put upon themselves sifugim, different restrictions and pleasure. They didn't sleep, they fasted, set the hillim, to be on a madrega, on a spiritual high, that when they nish the pages in the Chumash, in the Tanakh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be with them and will provide an answer to their question. You don't just stand nish pages. It's nonsense, it's meaningless. You have to be spiritually prepared to make that goyim. If this is true in our generation, when it comes to doing a goyel hagra for something, a question of whatever the question is, whatever the shaila is, al achas kal v'kama ben b'neishol kal v'chaymer, when you're dealing with the division of Eretz Yisrael, your chelik in the land, there was an enormous amount of preparation, spiritual preparation, that had to be done, in order to be roy, that when they on that fateful day, when they make the goral, it's going to work. So you can imagine it took 7 years. Maybe they waited to the very, very end. The 7 years, everyone sat in Kollel, and they fasted every Monday and Thursday, and they did things that are beyond our understanding in order to elevate themselves spiritually to the level when the goral was made at the end of 7 years, they can be certain Hashem was with them. There was siyata d'shmaya to make the proper determination where every person will have a chelek in the land. 7 years. 7 years of Kollel in order to come to that matzah to be roy. So here, B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvain, now here's an interesting thing. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he presented the plan back to B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvain, the B'nei Gad and B'nei Ruvain put a carrot in between the lines and says, we want to add something to your plan. We gave you a plan, you marked it up. You edited it. We now want to edit your plan, Moshe Rabbeinu. We want to be makabel upon ourselves something more than you require of us. You only require of us to lead the Jewish people into the land for 7 years. To fight, to take bare arms, to go out and get our hands dirty with blood, and to fight the Canaanim and drive them out of the land. We're going to do it. We're going to risk our lives, our young men, our best. We're going to do it. We're going to lead. We're going to be the Navy SEALs. We're going to take on the hardest missions to conquer the land. And then Moshe says, if you do that, good. You have fulfilled your condition. You can go back home. You can go back home. Klal Yisrael, the B'nei Gad B'nei Ruvain, this is an amazing concept, says, no, Moshe Rabbeinu, we're going to fight, we're going to get our hands full of blood, and then we're going to join the Kollel for 7 years. Because for the rest of Klal Yisrael, who did not yet have a chelek, an ach b'gorol yecholek ha'aretz, they're going to sit in Kollel for 7 years to prepare themselves spiritually by fasting and doing all of these things, spiritual things. We're going to do that also. Even though we're not getting the land, even though it's not okay to us, because we already have our portion in our Yarden, we're going to join the experience, the spiritual experience, to witness the Goral Hashem. So Moshe was impressed. Not bad. It's not just you're going to go and you're going to do the hard work, the Mesiras Nefesh of Mulchama. Kichol Hayoitse, they said, we're also going to do it. And that's what Rashi here says, Ligovoya, Shekibaltem Aleichem, Lavor Limulchama, Ad Kibush, Vichiluk, Division, Shemoyshe, Lebike Shmehem, Ella, Vinichbisha, to conquer war, the Achar Toshuvu, Vehem Kibu Aleichem, Ad Hisnachel, another 7 years. Kollel, 7 years of Kollel, spiritual high. Hare hoisiful his akev sheva shecholka. They agreed on their own another 7 years. V'chein osu, and so they did. Okay, that's this is a very moshe kachol hayosev v'pichem yasu. You makabel it, excellent, do it. And now we're in business. I want to suggest that very similar, no bichidish, is that this is how they responded to Moshe's demand lifnei Hashem. It wasn't just a new edit. Oh, out of the goodness of our hearts, we're also going to go to Kollel. Mm-hmm. Moshe said, "What are you out of your mind?" Moshe said, "You're going into. You want to go fight. There's no reference to God." You're just going to go into. We're going to fight. We're going to be the great warriors, the great soldiers. We have our weapons. Where is the Ribbono Shel Olam? Lifnei Hashem. If you want to go Lifnei Hashem, so if you'll mekabel upon yourself that when you're going to go, before you go to every Muhammad, before the Navy SEALs, before you parachute out off these stealth fighters, whatever these, you'll say to Hillel. All Moshe says is, listen, you're going to fight. What kind of way you have to go? You have to go if you'll tell me that when you're going to have in your duffel bag, when you jump off the plane, your tefillin and your talis and the tehillim, then you can go. But if you're going to just stand go without the tefillin, you'll say, Isaac, the mitzvah, put them in a mitzvah, I don't have to go and have my tefillin. You're going to de-emphasize the religious element of milchama, I don't want you to go. That's not what you want. You have to fight the milchemes Hashem, not the milchemes Yisrael. This is not just a fight for the state of Israel. This is the milchemes Hashem, milchemes mitzvah. So B'nai God, B'nai Reuven says, Moshe, we're going to do better than what you want. Avada, Vadai, we're going to go with talus and tefillin. We're going to go and we're going to raid the bunkers. We're going to be wearing the talus and tefillin as we go and we raid the bunkers with our weapons. But not only that, when the milchama is over, we're mekabel to sit in koil for 7 years. That's how far we're willing to go lifnei Hashem. It's not just going to be, it's going to be al tanai, soif mais ma'achshava t'chila, when the milchama is over, we're going to sit in Eretz Yisrael for 7 years to join the rest of Klal Yisrael to reach a spiritual high, to be roy, and to witness the gilui shechina of the Goral Hashem, which only comes after 7 years of spiritual preparation. So, B'nai Yisrael, there is, if you read between the lines, what's happening over here is there is a conversation taking place between Moshe and B'nai God, B'nai Reuven. They start off, B'nai God, B'nai Reuven, they start off saying something foolish. We're going to fight. We want this land, and we're going to fight, and we're going to be koichi v'yoytzen yodi osli esachayel, or a piece of cake, to win this battle with B'nai Yisrael. We don't even need the Ribbono Shel Olam, we don't even need the Ribbono Shel Olam. Moshe says, where have you been, you people? What's going on with you people? What happened to the Ribbono Shel Olam? So they say, you have to, if you go and you'll fight, L'shem Shamayim, L'chemes Hashem, okay, then it's an idea. B'nei God, B'nei Reuven did Teshuvah. You're right, Moshe. Vadai, it's going to be L'fnei Hashem. And we're mekabel to do even more than you want from us. When Makabal, even after the Muhammad is over, that it should be Lifnei Hashem to participate with the spiritual experience that Klal Yisrael will be observing when the Muhammad is over. So, Ebazeh, you're going to do all that? Absolutely, you're in business, then you have the right to go proceed with this plan. Plan C. It wasn't plan A, it wasn't plan B, it was plan C. This was the final plan for the Muhammad for Eretz Yisrael. That's obviously a very big Musa Haskell for us. Mr. Haskell for us, and we talk about what do we do here in America? Okay, we're spoiled, but we talk about milchama. It's not just enough that the milchama should be lifnei Hashem. You have to think of the future. When you win the milchama, what are you going to do? Very good. It's going to be a milchama Hashem. And then what? And then what? You're going to sit back on the beach with pina colada? Well, then what? The goal is after the milchama Hashem is over, it's for the purpose of being lifnei Hashem. Okay, let's go to another idea. Another idea. Okay, let's talk about for a moment. Okay, let's continue. This is an interesting idea. The very fascinating Balaturim. I'm warning you in advance. I don't know. I'm just throwing out an idea. It's food for thought. The Balaturim says the pasuk here that says in the middle Mechama pasuk lamed beis. Okay, if you don't have this, it's okay. Pasuk lamed beis. Nachnu. Here is where the Bnei God, Bnei Reuven, they makabel upon themselves. This is their kabbalah. Nachnu us. It's like anachnu. Nachnu, Navor, we will pass Chalutzim, armed with weapons, Lefnei Hashem, see here, they're very good, Lefnei Hashem, Eretz Kanan, Vitanu, and with us will be Achuzas Nachalaseinu Me'eder LaYarden, and we will ultimately take our possession on the other side of the Yarden. The Baal HaTurim says, something very uncharacteristic of the Baal HaTurim, no, doesn't do this, maybe he does, I don't know, Nach Navor, HaPostik Maschil Masayim Bin Nun. This Postik begins with a Nun, and ends with a nun, kiloimar. So he interprets this to mean the significance is nachnu na'avor hayardin shu rochav nun amo. Okay, he has a drush. The yardin is only 50 amos. It's pretty small. That's teeny. Nun amo. The yeshbo yud beis tevos. His pasuk also has 12 words. Loimar shakol yud beis shvatim yavu ul yud beis shvatim. We're also going to pass. Everyone's going to pass through the Yardane, which is 50 amos. That's the significance of the nun. All right, very good. I want to make the following suggestion. Where else do we have a pasuk that begins with a nun and ends with a nun, or an upside down nun? Vayehi bin soya haroin vayem Moshe kum Hashem yafutz avlech virusu v'nisnach v'nechol u'benuchu yamar shuv Hashem rivoy salfa Yisrael. There's an upside down nun that begins that section, upside down nun that ends that section. Parshas Nosai, right? Parshas Nosai. Tub Sokim nun. Upside down nun. And here we have another pasuk that has a regular nun. It's not separate. It's part of the pasuk. Nachnu, the nun opening nun, and the end of the pasuk is Yarden is an en nun. Isn't that interesting? This pasuk begins with a nun, ends with a nun, and there's another pasuk that has also a nun and a nun, but upside down nun. So I want to suggest is that it's by design. These two psukim complement one another. In life, it always has to be hishtablus. You have to hishtablus. Okay, if you're not going to do hishtablus, nothing's going to happen. That's the way it is. We all know that. Okay, the more hishtablus, sometimes the better. But there also has to be siyat d'shmaya. If you don't have siyat d'shmaya, it's not worth anything. The pasuk here is pure hishtablus. Nachnu na'avor, we're going to pass. Chalutzim, armed, weapons, state of the art. Pay good money for these weapons. The best of the best, well trained, years of training. Chalutzim, lefnei Hashem Eretz Kanan. And then when we'll do ours, then okay, ve'itanu achuzas nachalosein me'ever le'yardin. Okay, chalutzim, na'avor chalutzim means hishtablus. What more do you want? Vayehi ben soa. It's almost like magic. Magic. Bayehi ben Soharoin, when the Aron is moving through the field, Kuma Hashem, Hashem, you do yours. Yafutsu oivecha miponecha, the enemies just disappear. Magic. Mamish, hocus pocus. You know what I mean? Just, don't do nothing. You just sit back, lie back on the beach, and Hashem will fight your battles. Bayehi ben Soharoin. There, they're upside down. Here there are right nuns that are right side up. They go together. You have to have both. You have to have hishtadlus, but the hishtadlus has to be together with Vayehi bin Sohara. It has to be a Torah hishtadlus. Hishtadlus where the Torah accompanies you. And then what happens when you take an upside down nun and you connect it to a right side up nun? What letter do you get? If I'm not mistaken, when you connect to upside down nun, and a regular nun, you get a samach. A nun is round on the top and the bottom. Okay, look in the laws of Mishnah Seif, of how you write a nun. It's basically round on the top, round on the bottom, like a half a chaf. It's like a half a chaf. You have a chaf, you slice it in the middle, that's a shayish or a tinuk. If you have a chaf that's too narrow, it might look like a nun. Show a tinuk. The tinuk will tell you is it a nun. The upside down nun, you should know, is very complicated. There are different types of upside down nuns. There's inverted nuns, upside down nuns, all different types. But let's do a very simple nun upside down. When you connect an upside down nun to a right side up nun, and you put the two together, what do you get? The letter samach. What does nun stand for in ashrei? Ashrei? Neufel. Neufel. That's why it's not even an ashrei. It's such a frightening word. Neufel. David HaMelech, he left it out. He left out a whole pasuk because he doesn't want to even focus on the letter nun because it's noifel. What does the samach represent? Soimech. And adarab. Oh, once we have smicha, we can now return the nun. Soimech Hashem l'chol hanoiflim. Hanoiflim. Milchama is dangerous. Vulnerable. But when you do the hishtadlus, together with Vayehi bin Soha Aron, you combine the upside down nun, you join the upside down nun with the regular nun, and now you have a samach. And now the samach, in essence, is Soimech Hashem. L'chol, those nuns which were vulnerable, each one alone is a vulnerable. Each nun is Neufel. Just rely on Hashem. I'm not doing nothing, Hashem. I'm sitting here, I'm waiting for them to come. Everything's going to fall into place. No hishtalos. You're a Neufel. Anyone that wants to live with that attitude, you do nothing, and everything's going to work out for you just fine and dandy, is a Neufel. If you want to do your hishtalos and forget about Hashem, you're guaranteed to fail. You're a Neufel. But when you combine the two together, that's a win-win situation. You're no longer a nun. Now the nun turns into a samach. Soimech Hashem l'chol hanayflim. This is a keif l'chol akruvim. This is a little drush.
Does the commentator indicate that this is the only instance of...
I don't know. I doubt it. I hardly doubt it. I'm sure you can probably...
Doubt it also.
But why then does he focus on it?
Yeah.
The fact that he's focusing on it obviously shows that he holds this to be significant. So if it's significant, let us suggest the following suggestion. Let's connect to the other place where you have the upside down nuns and understand this idea of the shtadlus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then turns the two nuns into a samach. Soimech Hashem l'chol hanoiflim. Okay, let's go to another idea. chalutz. Okay, one more idea. It's also a rashi in the Baal Torah. Why is it that over and over in this parasha, kol chalutz, na anachnu navar chalutzim, and when they present their position, vanachnu necholetz kushim. Every time we talk about being armed, we use the word chalutz. Kol chalutz esayardin. Chalutz. It's over and over again in this Muhammad when they're coming to fight for the land. The word chalutz is used. We don't have this before. When we had Mochemes Midian back in Parashas, or Parashas, back in this Parashas as well, Nekoim Nikmas Yisrael, he does say, okay, Eretz Yisrael, but you follow, when we go to war, this word is used, it's just used over and over again. So the Baal HaTurim tells us why. There's a halachic reason why this word has been selected from all the various words that you can use to describe going to war, is because it refers to chalitza, chalitza sanoal. When a man goes out to war, there's a very great danger that he may not come back, and his wife, if he has no children, may fall to yibum, and if no one can report that he actually died, then his wife will be in aguna for the rest of her life. So it's very dangerous for a man. It's very dangerous, or even if it's very dangerous for a woman that has no children, a woman that has children, but certainly a woman that has no children, she will not be able to marry and have children, because we're not going to know what happened to the person's body. It's a very, very, very big tragedy. So therefore, the minute this is the makar, the Baal HaTurim says, this is the makar, and Moshe Rabbeinu instructed every member of his army, whether they, I don't know if they had. Except Kohanim, because Kohanim, why not? Because they can't give Mas Gedush Asar, Mas Gedush Asar. So every married man has to give a get to his wife, a conditional get. Whatever law this is, how it works, conditional, not conditional, time limit, whatever it was. But every man who went to war would write a Sefer Krisus, a divorce, give it to his wife. Honey, if I don't come back, by Pesach or for Hanukkah, that's it. You can marry whoever you like. Latoyv ve'enehem tiyedel enoshim. You know, this week is the best week for Shaduchim. This is the parasha for Shaduchim, because this week it says, Latoyv ve'enehem tiyedel enoshim. Women are, says, go chap whoever you want. Women are given a license, and this week's parasha is just for the women. The women are given a license. The women are given a license. Latoyv ve'enehem tiyedel enoshim. The Ramah says you can technically give a woman an aliyah. We do not do so because it's not a covet for the tzibur.
Right.
If there's ever a week when you want to make an exception, this is it. This is it. This is it. And you give the women, you give them chazak. If there's ever a week in the Torah you want to make that exception and say about the Ramah, you know, give them chazak. Give them chazak, because a woman,
you
need to shidduch.
You have the Tosefta Megillah that mentions about women aliyah.
Right, the Ramah says, technically a woman getting aliyah, but we don't do so, it's not a covenant seed. But if you're going to make an exception, this to give them chazak in the Masai. The very end of Masai, we're getting sidetracked here, but the end of Masai, what does it say? The last aliyah. Right before. Pasik Vavlis Zehadavashem Lemar Latoy the Enehem Tihena Linoshim. They can choose whoever they want to marry. Period. Okay. Any event, going back. So why does it say the word chalitza? Chalitza is that the man will give his wife a divorce, if you don't come back by this time you can remarry. And the Mal and the Baal HaTurim says, and that's where David took this precedent from Moshe Rabbeinu when his army went out to war. They also wrote a get krisus for their wives, and that's why David was allowed to marry Bathsheba. So the whole makar, by the way, the whole makar for David marrying Bathsheba and Uriah Chiti, she was not an eshes ish, technically speaking, because she was already divorced because of get krisus for Yishtoi. There's a question: it was not ethical necessarily what he did. That's ethics. That's not our topic of discussion, but technically speaking, there was no violation of halacha according to the letter of the law. Hashkaf is a different issue, but the letter of the law in David HaMelech was what he did was not osur because of this word, chalutz. It all comes from the word chalutz, which alludes to what? So it should not be chalitza sanal. A get was given, so it should not lead to chalitza. That's what the Baal HaTurim says. Look at the Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim says they get beis b'mesorah. Only it says the word twice. Called cholutz tzava, Chalutz Hanoal. The Hainu Darbinim Kol Yotzel Muhammad Space David get Krisus Kosev Lisha Shalot Tizokek Li Yibum. The get was given so you should not come to the Yibum, you should not come to the Yibum or Chalitza, which is Chalitza Nal, Velot Tizok Lechalachlis Nal Yavim. Veshamin Mikan Shegam Moisha Osekain, and Men Loma Dove Zerkol Chalutz Tzava Perish Chalutz Hanoal. Okay, so it's only twice in the Torah and Tanakh, this exact expression Chalutz, to make this drasha to teach and support halacha, and here we find that David now was not in violation.
What do you mean Moshe?
And
of course,
what? Because since it says by Moshe,
yeah.
So that indicates that Moshe did this. Moshe started this. Moshe didn't go to war necessarily. Maybe he did, but Moshe's army. When Moshe was the Melech, when Moshe sent out people to fight, the 12,000 people to fight Muhammad's people, go out to Eretz Yisrael. When Moshe set up the rules of war. Moshe wrote the Geneva Conventions. Moshe wrote the rules of war, and when he wrote the rules of war, he told the army, every soldier in my army of Jewish people has to write a get krisus. Mm-hmm. Today, you know, today, you never heard the Rabbanut. I never heard the Rabbanut advocating this should be done, right? So why not? Why not conditional get child of Aguna? You have not heard. You have not heard that the Rabbanut, which want to do something today, Bizman Azeh, we should loyal in. What?
One is most of the soldiers are young, not married.
They're not married, okay.
And two, they're afraid if they get together, they can take him back in.
We'll make more problems than solutions.
Yeah,
could be. That's a very good point.
But this being before, when we do refer to
Chilut Atzamos. Chilut, that's a modern expression. Chilutz Atzamos is the nusach of Rosh Chodesh benching. That's not in the Torah.
I didn't say it was.
Right. That's invented. That was invented only recently. That expression. Okay. Now I just want to make one simple ha'ara. Okay. I don't know. No big chidushim is that the fact that it says in the chalutz and we darshin of the chalitza and this is the term that is used to refer to battle. When you go to battle, the term is you're part of the chalutz hatzava. Okay. Tzava haganah li Yisrael. They don't use the word chalutz. They use the word in the Jewish as tzahal. Tzva hagona li Yisrael. Tzva. Tzva means the army, the host. The tzva. They didn't use the word
chalutz.
Maybe they should rename it. Chalutz hatzva hagona li Yisrael.
They already used that term.
What? The chalutz?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, chalutzim. They use the word chalutzim?
Yeah.
But it's not a. That's just a term. It's not the official name of the IDF. Israeli Defense Force. Okay, whatever. It's used colloquially. It's not used officially. Not that I'm aware of. Maybe it is. Okay? But here in the Mulchama and the organization of Moshe Rabbeinu, they were called the Chalutzei HaTzava. They were not called the Tzva HaGanah LiYisrael. They were called the Chalutzei HaTzava. That was the name of the organization. They had a logo. They had uniforms. They had berets. They had that was a Chalutzei HaTzava. Chalutzei. Why is this word such a critical word? So we know from the Baal HaTorah because it refers to the mitzvah of Chalitza. What does it say by Chalitza? When a man chooses to do Chalitza and does not want to do Yibam, what does she do to, what is the woman going to do? She spits towards him and she says, you good for nothing. Kocho, ye osel lo ish. She mevaze him. She takes off his shoes like a slave. Takes off his shoes, he's barefoot. The dignity of man is to have shoes. You have to have shoes. You have to have a shosli cold sarki. She takes off his shoes. That's a very great act of humiliation not to have shoes. Who doesn't have shoes? And she spits at him. And she says, "Kocha ye oseh lo ish asher lo yivne es beis achiv." So shall be done. We should be nevaze a person that doesn't feel the need to be take responsibility for his brother, his brother's home. What is war all about? What is war all about? It's all about responsibility for your fellow man. To build the Beis Achiv, a soldier goes to war. Who is he fighting for? He's fighting for his fellow man. He's fighting for his comrades in battle. He's fighting for his family at home. He's fighting for Klal Yisrael. He's fighting for his brothers. The whole Klal Yisrael. We're all brothers. We're all one part of one big family. The whole name, the whole title of the Jewish army, Moshe's army, is the Chalutzei HaTzava. Why did he choose the word chalutze? Because it reminds us of chalitza. And it reminds a person, don't be a coward. Don't be a coward in war. If you're a coward in war, you'll be a despised person. They'll say about you, Kocha ye'osel ish asher lo yivne es beis ochet. He did not feel the responsibility to be Moser Nefesh, to build his brother's home, to secure, to defend, to strengthen his brother on the battlefield. Okay, talk about the battle, no man left behind. That's a very big principle in war. Every army has a certain dignity where, you don't go home until everyone is accounted for, and you don't leave anyone behind. That's universal, I believe. I think it's a universal. Okay, and that's what it's all about. So you have to have a responsibility, not just for the people on the battlefield. I mean, you're fighting a war for a purpose, right? You're fighting a war to defend the land. You're fighting a war to accomplish something for the future of Klal Yisrael. So it's critical that when you enter the service, when you show up at the Gius and you register, at least if you register. If you fight, it's another story. But at least when you register, you're registering to show your responsibility. Your responsibility to Beis Ochiv. That is a lesson that you can take from this Balaturim. Balaturim is making a very specific connection. He's saying, hey, wait a minute. What is this funny word here doing here? And the Balaturim, he emphasizes with major emphasis, the word chalus over here is related to one word only, chalitza sanoa. And he has a very nice drasha. Halachic principle is you give a get. Shouldn't come with a chalitza. But once you're opening up this idea, this chalitza, wait a minute, what does it say by chalitza? The last thing about chalitza is, what are you doing? It's all about responsibility towards your fellow man. Okay, we're running out of time very quickly. Let me just tell you one quick word about kashrus. Then we'll talk about the masolos very quickly. But kashrus, we have over here kashrus. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the people you're going out to war, you're going to bring home kalim, and they're going to be treif. The non-Jews, they eat. They within 24 hours they have used these kalim for chazer, for non-kosher. So we have here in this parasha all the laws of geulei kalim. How do you kasher kalim? So Kiboloi kach polto. The same way it absorbs, that's how you're going to expunge. If it absorbs through fire, barbecue, you have to do libulin. If it absorbs through hot water, hagola. That's the whole parasha. It mentions over here everything, all the laws. Tells you basically in a nutshell all the laws exactly. Libulin gomor, libulin kal, hagola. And then there's just shitof, just rinsing it and cleaning it. All different types of ways to kasher utensils to eat them. And then it's something very bizarre. At the end of the whole sugya of teaching at a kasher kalim, it tells you, put it in the mikvah. Just in case it's tamei, you put it in the mikvah also. You can also put it in the mikvah. Let me see where I can find it. Let's see where it is. Go back a few pages. What perek? Laman Aleph, Pasach Gimel, Kol Devar Shoyel, Ba'esh Tari, Ba'esh V'Tor Ach Be'Nida Yischata, and then put it in a mikvah. What? A mikvah? What in the world are you talking about? Put it in a mikvah. That's not the topic of discussion here. The topic of discussion here is tarfos. Mikvah. That's another sugya. That's not for now. That's a sugya in Vayikra. Go to Vayikra. You learn about. On the battlefield, and the utensils, tamei, it needs to go into the mikvah. Okay, being tovel a kli from a goy, I don't know if you're tovel and you buy a kli from me, is that a deraisa? I don't think so. They're abonim. You go buy today with your tovel kale, that's not a deraisa. You buy a utensil from the department store, Macy's, and you tovel in the mikvah. That's only midrabana. That's a tire digazahi from a goy, it's not a deraisa. When the subject over here is, what? Make a bracha. Yeah. The Rabbanan said you should do it, so you make a bracha. But the din of what the Torah is talking about is, if the utensil is tameh, it's the battlefield, right? There are dead bodies all over the place. It's a goy metameh. Hopefully there are no Jewish casualties, but if there's a goy, it's all shiloh, it's a goy metameh, not metameh. So it says, just in case in the event that it's tameh, it says, kol devar sheyel bo'esh, tameh bo'esh, ach b'mei nido yischata, you should put it in a mikvah. A woman go to Nida, she's a mikvah, the Raisa, Yisrael, should purify it. What? What in the world are we talking about? Tum of a Tyra? What are you talking about over here? We're dealing over here with kashering kelim because the treif. You want to talk about Torah v'tayra? Go back to Chumash VaYikra. I'll find you a place to talk about that. It talks about that already over here. So who asked this question? The Baal HaTurim. Baal HaTurim asked this question. Baal HaTurim has the best stuff. Baal HaTurim has good stuff here. Baal HaTurim with Taharatem. That's no. There's a reason why they put it on the page Chumash. You know, there's a reason why he got into the Shul Chumash. Utahatem. Beis b'misaris v'chibastem b'deichem b'yom ha'shvi'i utahartem v'zirati lechem mayim tohem utahartem sha'al she'im. So over here he says that the last words she'im hilchois gil choyre lohem gamkein taharas k'akelem shi behaza. That's right. Moshe Rabbeinu, he took it upon himself, once I'm teaching you the laws of kashrus, let me teach the laws of tahara. Again, that's our question. Okay, the Baal HaTurim is coming to legitimize my question. That's all we really want to do with the Baal HaTurim. The Baal HaTurim picks up this point, and he says, that's right, Moshe Rabbeinu, he decided, now is a very good time, you're going to war, let me teach you about Taharas HaKelim. Okay, so what's the answer to the question? The answer to the question is, this goes back to a very old debate. This is a very good source for this topic, a very big dilemma that every kashrus agency in the world struggles with. And no one has a really good solution, and everyone will always get into trouble one way or another. When you give a hechsher on a food or on an establishment, does that also include other activities that are taking place in the environment? Okay, OU gives a hechsher. I don't know what their policy is. They always get into trouble with this. Always dealing with this issue. They're giving a hechsher on a restaurant. And the restaurant, the restaurant has every night mixed dancing. It's a bar. Everything is glatt kosher, and they have mixed dancing, and they have music. They have mixed dancing. So the question is, what people say? How can you give? How could your heksher be on the front door? Be on the front door when averos are taking place? Okay, that's one example. You give a million examples. No, there's no limit. You can be creative. Stop. We're running out of time. Okay, there are a million examples in every community. What for one community is not an issue, another community is an issue. Some people, they go meshuggah if the music, the background music is not Mordechai and David already. It's already a halach issue. Don't ask me. Okay, but the issue that every kashrus organization struggles with is when you give a heksher. I mean the Santa Claus issue. The OU, they had Christmas. They had on the Coca Cola. They have beautiful designs relating to the holidays, the secular holidays, and the nice big OU. How could the OU be together with Santa? It's not so bad, by the way. Santa Claus, nothing wrong with Santa Claus.
The OU Barbie biscuit has.
There's nothing wrong with Santa Claus. I always tell my nephew. What?
Barbie biscuit used to have an OU on communion wafers.
As far as I know, there's nothing so terrible about Santa Claus. Right? There's nothing so bad about Santa. I always tell my nephews that we come to the toys, Santa Claus is coming. I don't know what's happening. Alright, but you get the idea. Okay, you understand. I don't have to go, you can understand. So that's the very big dilemma. Where does kashrus begin? What is kashrus? You learn from this pasuk a very big yisod. You know, when Moshe Rabbeinu, he teaches them, you're going to Muhammad, you have to eat kosher food. So you're going to have kosher, very, you're going to have kosher food. Very good, you're going to go, you're going to purge it. But don't eat like a goy. Even though the food is kosher, the kelim come from goy. When you eat, you have to eat the kedusha uvi tahara. When you eat, you sit at a table and you use utensils and you wash the tilas you're dying. When you eat, it's not just the question, is the food kosher or is the food treif? There's more to eating than just the kashrus. Moshe's focus here is kashrus. He's teaching for the very first time kashrus. He already taught us the laws of Tumah v'Tahara. We're done with that. We've been there, we've done that. He's teaching you kashrus. But Moshe's saying, just because it's kosher, Rabbi Yisai, don't forget, when you eat, a Jew eats the kedusha uv'tahara, with holiness. Eating is a holy thing. There are people, G'dolei Yisrael, the previous generation, there are people who go to watch them eat. Part of the thing, going to a tish. I don't think there are people on this caliber today. Maybe I'm wrong, I don't personally believe the Achilim is caliber today, but the Gedolim from the previous generations,
yeah,
they were a very high spiritual level where people just went to the Tish to watch them eat,
yeah,
to see how a tzaddik eats. Forget about the Torah, forget about the Zmiris, forget about the Shirayim, just to see how a holy person eats. There's something to it.
I think there's a, I don't know if it's a halacha, minig, or custom, since she eats, will not eat a sandwich, because it's a grubbish thick broy. And so I think I heard a mighty from a friend, Rabbi Kron, a Rebbe in yeshiva taught his kids to eat a piece of pizza
with a fork and knife.
With a fork
and knife. In the chanaz. I met my Rebbe in 8th grade. He told us that when he was a child, our age in 8th grade, when he was a child, it was the first, they opened up the first pizza store in Brooklyn. He told us it was such a novelty. Can't imagine such a novelty. We're laughing at pizza store. Such a novelty. The first pizza store, kosher pizza store in Brooklyn. In Brooklyn, America. So people at that point in time, Rabbi Isai, they didn't know, still don't know, what bracha you make on pizza. What bracha? Do you make on maitzi? Do you make on nice? One piece, two pieces? Is it possible? The kiss, the napavas, it's very complicated. So yeah. So they went to the one of the old European Gedele, the Sheres HaPleta, the Gedele Hador of the Paiskim, and he told him, you know, the Machanish pizza store. What bracha do we make on pizza? So he says, what is pizza? It's an Italian food. Well, describe it to me. Well, there's dough, and there's tomato sauce, and there's cheese, and there's spices, and it's all mixed together. So he says, a yid would eat something like this. When does a yid come to eat such a machel?
Yeah.
Tomato sauce, a cheese. What? He's so far removed. Okay, so far removed that a Jew should want to eat such a machel. Such a machel. What? Sushi.
Oh,
and sushi also. So some of the old timers. Chodosh also min haTorah. Chodosh also min haTorah. Okay, last Yisai is, we can't not mention the Masois. There are 42 Masois, Rabbi Yisai, Masois, we make a bracha on the Masois every single day. Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Heichin Mitzadei Gover. Hashem prepares the footsteps of man. The Masois, Maisa of a similar bottom in the Midrash Klai, they travel from Mitzrayim to Yerit Yisrael, 42 journeys, each journey represented a tekufa in the history of Klal Yisrael and Golus, from going from place to place. Every step a person took in the Midbar was under the guide of the Anane HaKavod, the Amud HaEsh, the Amud HaAnon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking you step by step, was holding us by the hand and taking us in the Midbar to reach our destination. Ma'aseh Avos Simul Labanim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes you step by step. Every individual through his entire life, there are journeys, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holding you by, you just don't realize, you just don't see it. We learned this week something very fascinating, that in the Torah, the Gemara says, how many psukim are there in the Torah? 5,888. Great for this year. Can't do better than this year. I wait 100 years for this, because we're now 5,777. In the Torah, there's 5,888. What's the problem? The problem is, in our Chumash, if you count, you're not going to find 5,888. You're going to find 42 psukim less. What does that come out to? And mathematicians? What? 42 psukim less. So there's a discrepancy between our Messiah, what we have in front of us here in this article, Chumash, there's a discrepancy in what it says in the Gemara. Who's right? The Gemara is right. Everyone says that. The Gemara is right. There's a mistake in the Yerushal Chumash. Why then don't they correct the mistake? We don't know where the mistake is. There are 42 run-on. Is it run-on or run-off? Run-on.
Run-on.
Run-on. 42 run-on sukkim in the Torah. 42 sukkim in the Torah are run-on sentences, which should be stopped. You should stop somewhere in the middle of the pasuk and declare that to be a soif pasuk. 42 times. This happens in the Torah. 42 times. That's our problem, Rabbi Yisai. Because 42 represents the masos. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had us stop. It wasn't a one-shot deal. We stopped 42 times. For what purpose? Lehisboinein, revach lehisboinein, ben inyin lein. The reason why you stop, you take a break, is to absorb, think about it, to absorb the lessons of what has happened thus far. our Masorah, we're living in a run-on world. We don't have time to think. We go through the year, we go through the calendar, we go through our whole lives, and we wake up one day, how did all of this time pass? How did it happen? The whole year passed. What have I accomplished? What have I done? What's going on over here? You have to stop. You got to stop, and you got to think. And you got to absorb the lessons of what has happened thus far before you go further. Stop, and you have to stop 42 times. The masos, there were 42 masos. The problem our world goalless is, we're living in a high-paced world. There are 42 run-on sentences in the Torah. There are 42 times in the Torah that we should really stop and think. It's symbolic of what we need to do. It's chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. It's Shabbos, mevarchim chodesh, menachem av. What is av? Av is aleph beis. Who is in mourning in Golis? Not just us. The aleph beis is in Avelis. Aleph beis is the Torah is in Avelis. Al mo av doho oretz. Al asher azavtem es toirasi. With the geula, the one that's going to get the ultimate nechama, is going to be the aleph beis. And with the Torah, what comes us? It's Chodesh Menachem Ov. Menachem, we're hoping to be Menachem, the Aleph Beis. The Torah, and the way we're Menachem, the Aleph Beis, being learning the Torah, and the Kayim the Torah, and that will be the Gula Shoyim B'mher V'Yameinu. Amen.
Amen.